God bless you. I'm going to welcome you to the house of the Lord tonight. Those that are joining us online, we say God bless you as well, and welcome to the house of the Lord. I want to just open in a word of prayer tonight. Before we open our Bibles, let's just pray. Father, we are grateful for the opportunity we have to come and sit at the feet of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for putting it in our hearts, Lord, to want to be here tonight. And thank you for giving the saints strength, Lord, to make it through another day. And Lord, God, just allowing us all to gather here. And we pray as we come, Lord, that you would just minister to our hearts, speak to us through your word. God, we may have a lesson prepared and planned, but God, you know what the people need to hear. So speak, Father, to each and every need, not only those that are present, but those that are joining online as well. Be glorified and magnified in our gathering here tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. And I have thoroughly enjoyed our journey through this particular chapter. And tonight we will be coming to an end, amen, in this chapter and moving forward into Ephesians 4 in a little bit. But just want to start here at verse 14 and just for a little reading, and we'll be focusing on the last verse of this chapter tonight. Verse 14 says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man." And I, for myself, I have been strengthened in the inner man as we have journeyed through this particular passage. It's strength to the inner man. Anytime we are feeding on the word of God, we are feeding the inner man. And we have to make sure that that man eats. It's important for him to eat, just like it's important for the outer man to eat. If he's not fed, he will die, right? The inner man will die if he's not fed. We cannot rely on old experiences. Amen. We need fresh and new experiences with God in order for that inner man to continue to thrive, right? And that's the main thing. You want the inner man thriving. You know, we want to be a type of people that's always on fire. Glory to God, right? You know, not just sometime or part time. We want to always be on fire when it comes to God. Not wait for special services to get our expectations up. Anytime we come through the doors, God can meet us here, right? But we have to feed that inner man. Glory to God. Keep that inner man energized. Hallelujah. Keep him energized. Give him some good vitamins. You know, that'll keep him strong. So we thank God for this. And I don't want it just for us just kind of read these scriptures just to be reading. Paul is writing something to us. You know, he's really, really trying to get us to see something from just being Christians. And, you know, you got to be strengthened. You know, I've seen, like Brother Branham say, there's many a Christians and ministers piled along the side of the road because they didn't approach it right. Right. I mean, the people that you thought was man, they going to make it. They this, they that, piled alongside of the road, you know, just trash heaps all along the side of the road because they didn't approach their Christian faith the right way. And one thing I want to encourage you, you know, that you have to strengthen your own inner man, because we all have one. We got to take advantage of what God has given us and make sure we strengthen. Verse 17 says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. Recently, a brother was teaching on the scripture, and I was just blessed by it. I'm not a builder, So I might not understand all the turns, but you know, the brother was bringing out that when you buy a piece of property and you're looking to put a building on it, you have surveyors that go out on the land and they look over that land and they make sure that you have enough depth so you're not too close to the road, you know, and that you have you know, enough width in the land in order to be able to build the building that you want to build, right? They look at a number of things there. They want to make sure that you're not encroaching on your neighbor's property. They want to make sure that the lines are drawn accurately so a person can come back later on and say, hey, you're on my property. I need, you know, part of your building. They do all of these things, right? And before that building actually goes up, there's a great survey that takes place. And, you know, and as we're building, you know, the church of God, we're surveying. Amen. We're surveying. We want to make sure it's built properly. We want to make sure it can stand, you know. And so we want you to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. It goes on to say this, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. And I think that's extremely important. We want all of God, not just part of God. We want all of God. I think I encourage the young people, amen, when we're going over that. While you're young, give God everything you got. I mean, surrender everything. There's a song they sing, if you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. And I mean, I'm talking about surrender. Lord, whatever, if I don't even know what gifts I might have in me. I don't know this, but if somebody sees it in me, they're calling out of me, God, I want to just give it to you. And you don't have to wait till you get my age to give God your all. While you're young, give him everything. Give him everything, all right? And it says this, verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And we've been focusing on that for the past couple of times that we were teaching, and God certainly is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. But remember, the key to that is according to the power that's working in you. And now the power that's working in you actually is the power that actually processes your thinking. Amen. Right, that's where things happen. It's on the inside. And remember when we read this scripture and we taught on it, we brought to the point, brought a point out, is that your thoughts. So the power that's working in you is actually what's processing your thoughts, right? So whether it's either faith, and I'm not, and this is different from just saying what you think people want to hear you say. It's more than that, right? This is a lifestyle. This is an everyday lifestyle. What comes out of your mouth and what becomes your actions and all that's because that's really what's inside of you. Hallelujah. I'm talking about when the tide is turned against you, what you're saying, right? Because you know, we've said it before, and Brother Brandon brought it out to us. You can tell the true character of a person when they're under pressure. When they're under pressure, hallelujah, hallelujah. So you can fool some people some of the time, but you can't fool yourself and God none of the time. And this is why the inner man has to be strengthened, because the inner man got to talk different. The inner man got to act different. The inner man got to walk different, because if the inner man is operating a certain way, then it's going to cause the outer man to come in line with what the inner man is doing. Hallelujah. You can tell what the inner man is all about. You just watch the outward expressions. Just watch the outward expressions. But we have to, and again, you got to strengthen your inner man. You got to find yourself a scripture that you can write and put on your mirror, mm-hmm. or put on your refrigerator. Amen. And stand there and just hold on. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. I ain't going to turn it loose. I'm going to just hold on. Amen, amen. Whether sickness in your body, find the scriptures that pertain to healing and hold to that scripture. Glory to God. Whether it's a financial situation, find the scriptures that pertain to that. right? When, and we all have challenges, if I could put it that way, sometime. I mean, no matter what level of faith, I mean, what level, how long you've been a Christian, you're still going to have these challenges. God going to allow the enemy to attack your body. He's going to get a punch. God going to allow the enemy to attack your finances. But he's watching to see what you're going to do with the inner man. Hey, glory, 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 glory. I seen some of y'all, that inner man, somebody offer you a little extra time. But you work on Sunday, you do this, we'll do that, we'll do this for you. And you think for a second. Sunday, more time, more this. Then the inner man step up. Church on Sunday.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to go a little further then. And I'm going to bring a balance to it. I ain't going to leave it all on one side because I know that you can get an ox in the ditch and you got to take care of it. Right? And I know also that, you know, I don't fault anybody that, you know, service is over and you might have to go to work after service is over, something like that. That, you know, that's totally understandable. But there used to be a time that Sunday was the Lord's day. The entire day belonged to God. It used to be a time like that. Hallelujah. Sunday was the Lord's day. We honored that. We honored the Sabbath. Right, and now you have people that are fussed with you about, well, if you're gonna honor the Sabbath, you need to honor Saturday. I get you. The reason that we honor Sunday is because that was the day of the resurrection, and we celebrate the resurrection. That's when he actually rose again. It was the day after the Sabbath. The Bible says. So I hopefully I brought a balance there for you, but we want to get back to that spot where we honor God. We honor God. Even in our activities that we choose to do on Sunday, we honor God. Certain things we just wouldn't do on Sundays. Amen. Amen. Certain, no, we just, no, not Sunday. Nah. It may, 6 other days I can do that. But on Sunday, nah. Hallelujah. I'll talk about what it used to be. Amen. All right, let me go on here. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundant above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Verse 21, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end, amen. All right, let's just look at this, a couple key statements for this section, and then we will move on into that last verse that we just want to talk about, and then we'll close this chapter. It says here, Christ was the word, the church becomes the word when it lets the word go through them. The next statement says, don't take no for the answers. It's when we think those things, you create an atmosphere around you. And that's about, again, God being, he's able to do exceeding abundant above all we can ask and think. But on the inside, you can't take no for an answer, right? Don't take no for an answer. When you really believe in God for something, don't take no for an answer, especially if it's according to his word. It's already according to his will. That's how you know if it's the will of God. If it's in the word, it's his will. It's his will for you to be in good health and to prosper even as your soul prospers. So you already know it's God's will for you to prosper. That's not even that. You don't even put that in your prayer. Lord, if it's your will for me to prosper. No, it's already stated that it's his will for you to be two things, good health and to prosper even as your soul prospers. Now that's the other thing about that. Don't take the good health and the prosperity and then not feed that in a man. All right. So don't take no finances. When we think those things, you create an atmosphere around you. This next statement says, when a man experiences the depth of God in his life, it's an actual personal experience of the Spirit of God indwelling him, and his mind is illuminated by the wisdom and knowledge of God through the word. Praise the name of the Lord for that. Here the prophet says you can't stand still. You're either backsliding or going forward. You can't stand still. You're either backsliding or going forward. You have to evaluate your own life. Lord, where am I? Because I don't want to be standing still and I don't want to be backsliding. I want to be going forward. And he said, you can't stand still. You're either backsliding or going forward. So you realize you're moving in one of the other directions. Amen. Always move closer to him. This next statement says, notice not only is the bride washed, forgiven, but she's justified. We need to hear that. We're washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, forgiven for our sins, and justified just as if we never did in the first place. When you get a revelation of justification, then Satan can't hold anything over you. When I was preaching in Arkansas recently, it was a statement that I was making about how fire comes to the Holy. John say there's one standing amongst you, he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. And Brother Branham say fire is what burns out sin. That's why we need Holy Ghost and fire. Fire to burn out sin. And I say, I don't want God just to burn, you know, the actions, but I want him to consume and burn the memories. I want my memories to be consumed by the fire of God, where I can't even remember what I did. That's what I'm asking for. Consume me with that kind of fire. Hallelujah. Amen. This next statement says he's absolutely the inexhaustible, and you can just drink and drink and drink. You can drink your healing in. You can drink your salvation in. Just come and drink. That's the key. Keep coming and drinking. You'll drink exactly what you need. The word of God will give you exactly what you need. It is your vitamin, spiritual vitamin. This last statement says, I can teach you the truth, but if you don't open your ear to hear it and your heart to receive it, you won't get the revelation. And that just means so much to me. That means so much to me. I don't want it to be said, if you go to heaven, don't want it to be said that you didn't get truth from this church. We're going to make sure you get truth. We're going to teach it to you. We're going to make sure you get it. The Bible says you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So my thing is, as you get truth, it's up to you to open up your ear to hear it and your heart to receive it. It's up to you to do that. Hallelujah. Otherwise, you won't get the revelation. And I just watch Satan just kind of play with people's minds, you know, when it comes to revelation. And I don't think God wastes time. I think God got better things to do than to allow us just to kind of come here and fellowship around these things if he wasn't convinced that we would receive it. Why play games like that? Why waste time like that, right? If God would call you to this, evidently he has purpose for you being here. Now, the devil will fight you about being here. The devil will accuse you about all kind of stuff. But if God has allowed somehow for your path to cross truth, God ain't playing games. God ain't made no mistakes. Oh, my. I just thank God. I mean, everything got a purpose. I think about, I was reading a story this morning in Scripture, and I'm moving on, but the Simon the Cyrene, how he happened to be in Jerusalem at the time of the Passover, on the very day that he's there in the street that he was standing on. Come on, somebody. The street that he's standing on, here comes Jesus pulling a cross. And he sees the man weighted down. And even the soldiers saw he's weighted down. He can't carry this thing, but we ain't carrying it. And this Simon, come on, they don't even know the man's name. Come over here and carry the cross for this man. And just think about him. He just coming from another country, happened to be there at the right place at the right time to carry the cross of the Lord Jesus. What a favor. What a favor. That man wasn't there by accident. That man wasn't there by happenstance. It was by predestination. And I'm telling you here tonight, you're not a part of this church by happenstance. You're not here because your mama made you come or your daddy made you come. You're here by predestination. Oh, if we catch these things. God not playing games. He has purpose for each and every one of us. Come in the truth. Let's move on. I'm going to slide 23. It says, Ephesians 3:21 says, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Just read a quote or two from this. Then I want to slip to a scripture if I can. It says here in the message, presuming, says, and I remember when I first come here in Phoenix, we stood over there in Brother Outlaw's church. I believe he's the first one that invited me to Phoenix. And there was a little Mexican church called Brother Garcia's, little Spanish-speaking church down somewhere, down in there. And what a time we had in there. People standing in prayer lines and being healed. Can you imagine that? Standing in the prayer line being healed. Just praying and laying hands on them. The ministry has come higher. Certainly it has. Gifts has been multiplied. Somehow or another, I wish I was just back like I was at the first place, you see. I think more years, we just forgot some of the things I've ever learned. I think it would be a lot better off, see. Well, I think the road to God is through the path of humility and service. A very key statement there. The road to God is through the path of humility and service. I want to say that again. The road to God is through the path of humility and service. Right? Just always remain humble. No matter what you do, remain humble. Scripture tells us very clearly that a man's gift will always make room for itself. And it'll bring him before great people, but you got to remain humble. You know, I'm gonna just say this. Sometimes when I get the invitations to go places, and you know, people invite me to go, I thank God for it. But a lot of people have no idea what my story is. They don't know what my story is. They don't know how I got those invitations. You know, the life that I had to live and some of the stuff I had to go through, some of the things I just, statements that's made and said about you, you just got to outlive it. You can't fight it. You can't rise up. And I'm going to say this now. You can't say none of that. You let God be the one to vindicate you. Right? You let God do it. But, I mean, people have no idea some of the stuff I just had to endure. Probably my wife probably be the only one probably know everything. And she had to endure it with me. Hallelujah. I thank God for his grace. And I realize the more he does, the more humble I want to be. Oh, Jesus. The road to God is through the path of humility and service. I think there's nothing no better in the world to lift us up to Christ than that. You get to see carnal impersonations and so forth. It dulls you and puts something in you. I wish it wouldn't do it. You see, kind of brings you up. I think it gets you in the state of complex when you should not be there. You should just keep all things away and move on. Right? But again, just stay humble. Stay humble. God will exalt you in due time. Amen. Just stay humble. God, it's all about God. It ain't got nothing to do with nobody else. You know, the Bible even says promotion does not come from the east and the west, but it comes from God. Hallelujah. Right? So he says this, says, and so then I hope this will strengthen our fellowship together to each other. Pray that God will heal the sick people that we prayed for, and above all things, Save every soul that can be saved. I don't know where they are, who they are, so I'm just preaching. Whatever comes in, that's where I try to minister to them. I'm hoping that someday through that great eternity and a peaceful valley, maybe not the Maricopa, but some peaceful valley somewhere, we'll live together, neighbors, throughout ceaseless ages. See, that's world without end, without throughout ceaseless ages. That's why we're here. Now, many are standing, and you're so lovely, I could just talk all night. And so I know we got several services, and I don't want to take too much time in each place. But if we'll all, if we'll just now reverently bow our heads before we open up the Word of God and pray. So our purpose for coming here is to prepare for where we're getting ready to go. And it says we'll be there throughout ceaseless ages, world without end. Amen. Let's go on to this next quote here, Water from the Rock. It says, thank you, brother. Good evening, friends. So happy to be back out tonight here in the Shriner Auditorium for our fifth night of service in the name of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, to whom be all praise and glory forever and ever, worlds without end. Says, last evening it was just a little difficult for me. Something happened that I very seldom have happen in a meeting. Says, I just getting ready to make seeing the visions begin to break over the people. And as I started to move into the vision, something happened before me. We talked about it till after I got to myself good until 1 o'clock this morning nearly. Now, Brother Branham's in the pulpit, getting ready to do a prayer line. The vision's breaking, and while the visions are breaking, he goes into another vision. And look at what he says. I saw Adam leave the Garden of Eden willfully. He saw it in a vision. Now, that shouldn't shock you. How do you think Moses wrote about Genesis? Moses would have had to see it in a vision. And here the prophet says, I saw Adam leave the garden willfully. Willfully? That changes the way that you even preach about what Adam did in the garden. Willfully went out there with Eve. Adam wasn't deceived. Willfully. Oh, my. But he says, I saw Adam leave the Garden of Eden willfully because he went out because he loved his wife. But the vision didn't stop there. I seen Jesus come and go out willfully, taking the sinner's place because he loved the church. I just couldn't keep from expressing it. And we hear that the Lord did bless and fill with the Holy Spirit and save the lost. After all, that's the main thing that we're here for. He goes on to say this, divine healing is wonderful, but divine healing is like the bait that's on the hook. You don't show the fish the hook, you show him the bait. If he gets the bait, he's got the hook too. If a man can ever be healed and see the power of God, what it does to you, he will then become a believer. That's right. Now, I just love that, you know, the statement here that he's talking about how he saw Adam go out willfully. And when we look at this scripture, you know, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end, amen. I'm just looking for a reference scripture on that, and I found one out of Romans 11. And I just so happened to be reading the scripture this morning. I was doing some teaching on Revelation chapter 6, talking about the fifth seal and the souls that were under the altar. And, you know, Brother Branham just bringing it out very clear that these were not, it was not the bride that had gone on before. This was actually Jews that had died, you know, and the reason that they were in this particular position is because God blinded their eyes. God blinded the eyes of the Jews so that you could see. And when I process this and I think about this, and it does something, you know, to me on the inside. Imagine somebody else losing their eyesight so that you can see. But they can't see because they gave their eyesight to you. Just think about that, right? God blinded the children of Israel. He didn't let them see spiritual things. He didn't let them see the Messiah in order to give us an opportunity to come to know him in his word. Church, we are blessed people, and we just kind of take that for granted. We really take it for granted. God help us is my prayer. Let's read here from Romans 11, starting at verse 25. Says here, for I would not, hold on one second. I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. So all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall not turn away shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. Now, the Jews were blinded way back in the days of Paul. Paul made a statement that we're turning from you and we're going to the Gentiles. And the ages were on, the seven Gentile ages were on, the seven church ages were on. Here we are at the end of the Laodicean church age. We know that the Jews now are waiting their Messiah. They're waiting. You know, they even have a ceremony where they leave a chair empty at their table, and they have this feast. And they leave a chair empty at the table and leave the door open, expecting that Elijah will come and sit down and have a meal with them, right? They're looking for their Elijah, and they're going to get one. He's going to be one of the two witnesses. Moses and Elijah is gone, right? So they're under expectation that something is about to happen. We don't have time to play games with this. We gotta get right and stay right. Hallelujah. Look at this. It goes on in the Bible. It says this. For the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. For as ye in time past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him, are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Thank God for his grace that's been given to us, even as I said, through this Gentile church ages, the Jews were blinded so that we had a privilege and opportunity to see. As we come to the end of the end, we know the Gentile church is about to be called into a rapture, and then God will reveal himself to the Jews once again. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. We know those two witnesses. I used to hear preachers preach years ago, I believe Moses and Elijah are already here. And I said, we still here. Why would they be here? All right. When is their ministry? Well, their ministry is to the Jews. So what would they? I mean, I don't believe they're coming until we get out of the way. Hallelujah. All right. Amen. They have a short ministry, you know, be killed in the streets and resurrected. But I believe the time has come where we must get out of the way, so that they can come. The scene is about to change again. We're talking on Sunday, that seventh junction. Here comes the Gentile bride out on the stage. We're here, but there's a rapture that's coming. I got more notes on that in my sermon, but there's a rapture that's coming. But even after that rapture, there's still more work to be done. More work to be done. That's time to go back and God to reveal himself to the Jews. They were blinded intentionally for our sake. How we thank God that we can walk in his truth. You know, I actually forgot something. Can you, on that slide, just hit next for me before you go. All right. It says, why it's the most glorious thing I think I can think of for him to split the skies right now. Let's get over it. Why wouldn't I change this old, dried up, wrinkled old age creek body that's full of corruption? Nothing but skin worms can eat it up and take the soul in there that loves God and unite in a brand new 21-year-old William Branham that'll never be old and never have a heartache or never die, never be sick, to live with, elected through the ages, throughout all eternity. That's what we're living for. All right, so over here in our quotes again, I'm at the quote, blasphemous names. Blasphemous names. The prophet says, now I got the Greek lexicon. Here, the emphatic diglot. I studied the other day on a word. Now, in John 14 or John 3:16, we find one place says, have everlasting life. Another place it says, have eternal life. But in the Greek version, in the Hebrew, it says, life without end. And the Greek word has A-I-N-I-O-A-N. He says almost like aeon. Aeon is a space that that can't be. It's a number that can't be numbered. It's beyond millions, trillions, billion. But this is aeonious of time, eternal life. And the English word for it is eternal. We know it as eternal, aeonious, for life or life without end. See, and if you got life without end, how can you perish? So if you got eternal life, how can you perish? You got aeonious life. How can you perish? Right? You have become a part of the eternal, and there's only one thing eternal. Satan is not eternal. He becomes Satan. Hell is not eternal. Hell was created. It's not eternal, and these bodies are not eternal. They were created. But the Spirit of God is eternal. It never had a beginning, or it never has an end. And the only way we can have eternal life from that Greek word Zoe, which means God's own life, we become a part of God when we become sons and daughters of God, and we have aeonious life. So the part that lives, us that recognizes this word from here to there, that recognizes, is aeonious life. I think that's special. I see you didn't walk in here by mistake. You didn't come in here by chance. The reason you could hear this message, the brother was saying how he got a hold of a church age book, and he read it in about 3 days, read the whole church age book in 3 days. And said after reading that book, he had never been the same again. What was it? And this brother was actually in prison when he got the book. They were going on lockdown in prison, and he said, I got to find something to read. We're going on lockdown. I got to find something to read. These next 3 days, they're not going to let us out of here. This is going to be terrible. So he went to the library, saw a church age book, said, let me get this book right here. He thought he was just grabbing a book just to grab a book. Brother picked up the church age book, went on lockdown, came out of lockdown out of 3 days. And I love that 3 days. Jesus rose in 3 days, right? And after 3 days, the man comes out of lockdown and say, who brought this book in here? Who brought this to the library, right? And when they told him, say, that guy over there, that big guy over there brought it. So they went to start fellowshipping with that brother, and they realized they had something in common. And say he'd never been the same. Now that same man that had that experience, he started a little fellowship. It's not a church, but it's just a fellowship. He called it Eagle Fellowship. And every morning, 8 o'clock in the morning for me, but 5 o'clock in the morning for them out in California, they get on that line and they just fellowship around the things of God. I mean, we're going through the book of Revelation right now, and I teach usually once a week on this line. And as a brother was saying, I read that church age book, and my life has never been the same. I said, brother, we also read the same book. And that's why we come to the line of fellowship. And the reason that we can read the book and agree with the book is because on the inside of us was Aeonius' life. Think about the church you came from, your Pentecostal, your Baptist, your Catholic, your Methodist, whatever church you came from. Think about all the people that's still there. You've been gone for years, and they thought that you done went off your rocker. Now you're still holding on. It's because you had Aeonius' life. The part that lives, that recognizes his word from here to there, that recognizes is Aeonius' life, life without end. It's God's own life in us. Amen. The prophet says, woo. I like that. Well, he talked about going to the emphatic diglot. I did the same thing when it came to this particular verse in Ephesians 3, where it says, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end, amen. When I went to the emphatic diglot, this is the original translation of the scripture in the English language, the emphatic diglot. And you won't even be able to find this book in many places. I think I had to find mine. I bought one. Brother Donnie Reagan had a whole bunch of them years ago, so I bought one then. But when I had to buy another one, I think I actually had to go to Jehovah's Witness website to get the book, the emphatic diglot, right? But in there it says, to him be glory in the congregation, right? So unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. But it says, to him be glory in the congregation by Christ Jesus, to all the generations of the age of the ages. I like that. To him be glory in the congregation by Christ Jesus, to all the generations of the age of the ages. Amen. So I just began to do a little search on throughout the ages rather than just world without end. So here's a couple quotes that I want to read to you from that. This is out of Ephesian Church Age, says, the voice of the Spirit, Revelation 2:7, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. It may be that millions will hear these words or read them, but how many will pay heed to them? And we talk about this Bible here, right? How many will pay heed to them? That we don't know, but he who will lend his ear and want to know the words of truth will find the Spirit of God enlightening him. So if you're lending your ear and you actually want to know the word of truth, the Spirit of God will begin to enlighten you. I want to give you all just a little secret. As a believer, there are times you're going to run into things, or you might hear things said, whether it's through teaching or, you know, a preacher come and preach something from the pulpit, and you might say, well, I'm not sure if I really understand that. Don't be so quick to corner the preacher after service to ask questions. Don't be so quick. What I want to challenge you to do sometime is wait on the Lord. Write it down and then just wait on the Lord. If you lend your ear and want to know the words of truth, guess what will happen now? It didn't say corner the preacher off. Know the words of truth will find the Spirit of God enlightening you. That means God will bring the revelation to you when he's ready for you to have it. So what you have to learn to do sometime is just put it in the parking lot. Just wait on it. Sometime it might take years. I'm going to give y'all one. Maybe I should say that. Because I could preach that. I want to preach that one. I want to save that one because I can preach that one. And that'd be a good one. But maybe it will, if the Lord will bring it back to my memories at that time, I'll come back to this statement. But there was a scripture that I was reading. Lord have mercy. y'all know that scripture in the Bible where Jesus was being taken away. Judas had betrayed him, and they come to get him and take him away. And then there's a scripture in the Bible about a young man that was standing there, and some kind of way he ran away naked. Brother just preached on that scripture, and I just read it, went right over the top of it. Brother preached on that scripture and said that theologians believe that the young man that ran away was actually Mark, who wrote the book of Mark. And they trace his life through the scripture, and it just kind of goes to show how Mark was at a place of embarrassment. But later on in his life was at a place where people needed him because he was profitable. Paul called him profitable. The same guy that left embarrassed is the same guy that became profitable through his experiences. I'll bring it out later on. Let's keep reading here. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. It may be that millions will hear these words or read them, but how many will pay heed to them, that we don't know. But he who will lend his ear and want to know the words of truth will find the Spirit of God enlightening him. If your ear is open to the word, the Spirit of God will make the word real to you. And I was just saying, you don't have to corner the preacher off all the time. Sometimes that can be a spirit that get on people. You don't even hear really what the preacher's saying. They say it's two forms of listening. One is to listen to kind of to really, really, you know, gain an understanding as to what's being said. But then there's another listening. It's a listening to refute. I was looking for something. There it is. I'm going to shake his hand at the church, and I'm going to, now you said this, but the prophet said. No, you got the wrong spirit. All right. Why don't you just pray for him? Maybe God might show him a little bit more later on, or maybe he'll show you more. All right. Now that is a work of the Spirit. I can teach you the truth, but if you don't open your ear to hear it and your heart to receive it, you won't get the revelation. Now notice it says the Spirit is speaking to the churches. That is plural, not singular. Spirit did not have John write this down for a local Ephesians church, nor for the first age only. It is for all churches, church ages. But this is the church of beginnings, and thus it is like the book of Genesis. What started in Genesis holds true throughout the entire word and finally closes out in Revelation. Thus, this church beginning acts as God's blueprint for all ages until she closes out in the Laodicean age. Watch it carefully. Let every age take heed. But what is going on here is only the start. That little tree that was planted is going to grow. It is going to grow through the ages. This, then, is a message for every Christian through every age until Jesus comes. Yes. It is for the Spirit. It is the Spirit speaking. Amen. So here, the Spirit of God will bring all things to us as we have need of it. He'll reveal everything. He will enlighten us as he sees fit. Sometimes you just have to pray over what you got. Lord, I don't understand it all, but God, I believe you'll show it to me. And sometimes God wants you to be that way because he don't want you to take shortcuts. You know, because this is not a thing of just trying to get head knowledge. And I've seen people come to the message, you know, and they're not willing to take the baby steps. They're not willing to grow. And it's a natural process for you to grow in the faith. It's not a thing where you come in and you just got here yesterday and here's somebody been following us for 40 years and y'all on the same level. It shouldn't be that way, right? But what you see is the same God, that loves the one that's been there forever and the one that just, he just brought. It's the same God that loves them both. But it takes process to grow in this. Well, I'm going to tell you another thing. Life challenges have a way of helping you grow. And you have to allow life to come to you. Can I put it that way? Some of us try to dictate how life going to be. No, that's not the way God works. Now, you have to allow life to come to you. And when the situation arises, then you just adjust accordingly. Praise the Lord. But don't try to dictate life. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to make this. No, you can't do that. It's not your life. It's God's life. Hallelujah. You know, I never went to church with the intention that one day I'm going to start my own church. I never had that intention. That wasn't my plan. Oh, Lord, have mercy, Jesus. I was going to church because I just love the Lord. I just love God. I enjoy being in his presence. But it wasn't my plan that, you know, one day I'm going to do this. And that was never my plan. And if you really knew my story, you see God had to almost force me into this. That's exactly what it was. The tender hand of Jehovah had to force me into this place that I'm at right now. And I'm going to tell you, a real God called man, always running and going to be pinned down and forced into something. That's usually the way it works. You know, we don't know all that goes along with the responsibility goes along with the position. Pastor got to be on top of his game in every area of his life. I got to be on top of my game with my family. Got to be on top of my game in my finances. Got to be on top of my game in, you know, counseling. Got to be on top of my game. You name it. Everything. Pastor got to always be on top of his game. Amen. So there's a lot of responsibility that goes with the position. Lots. And typically any man that's signing up for it, applying for the job, he ain't read the job description. He ain't read it. Y'all ever went out and saw certain jobs that you was gonna apply for and you read the job description and say, nah. Let me go over here and get myself something over here. Now that's when you saw the pastoral job skill, that's okay. God just make me. I was a song leader. I'm happy just singing songs. I'm happy just singing. Back in those days, I wanted to be a little musician. I was happy just. I used to call myself playing the bass guitar and all that. Man, I was happy just doing that. Happy. But God allows certain circumstances to come up, and this come, and this happened, and it's just you. Then you got to do something about it. But it's all for his glory. It's all for his honor, and got nothing to do with you. But so you got to remember where you came from. I want to keep reading here. Out of Abraham's covenant confirmed. That's the way people today don't want to hear about the coming of the Lord Jesus. Why, it's the most glorious thing I can think of for him to split the skies right now. Let's get over it. Why would not change this old, dried up, wrinkled old age, creaked body that's full of corruption, nothing but skin worms get eaten up, and take the soul in there that loves God, that inner man. Take the soul in there that loves God and unite in a brand new 21-year-old William Branham that'll never be old. Never have a heartache I'll never die, never be sick, to live with the elected through the ages, throughout all eternity. Why, I couldn't think of anything any greater. That's why I want you to read this witness here. This little thing I saw, I know it's the truth. I shook hands there with people who were, that I knowed, and I was standing looking at myself laying there on the bed, and here I was standing. It ain't very far away. We don't have a very far to go, because I was standing here just as real as I'm standing at this pulpit. And I thought, now there I'm laying there, and how could I be standing here just the same as I am right now? There was people, every one of them, beautiful. I could see those women. I've been kind of hard on the women, but I don't mean you Christian women. I mean those who act like they're Christians and not. Sue wants to be Jezebels. No, sir. After the things of the world, I certainly bear down on them. I have to do that. I can't help that. But you have to have a bad one to make a good one shine out. You have to have a night so you can appreciate the daylight. You have to have wrong to appreciate the right. So these things have to happen in our life. This is how we grow. This is how we develop, you know, when we go through things. Sometimes you're going to have some mountaintop experiences, and other days you're going to have some valleys. But if you keep walking, you get up to another mountaintop. Praise the Lord. So you have to learn to appreciate the mountaintops just as well as you appreciate the valleys. You have to have wrong to appreciate the right. It's all working together to God's good, his glory. You're on a battlefield, not a picnic ground. Amen. Battle. Everybody said, come be a Christian. Everything would go right. No, sir. It doesn't for a Christian. Can you imagine that? I was just thinking on this earlier. As people say, you know, well, this person going through this, and this person going through that. And or they'll say something like, they not a Christian, and it don't seem like nothing happened in their life. That's what it seemed like. Nothing happened in life. Everybody got something they're going through. They might not show it. But because we live in a sin-cursed world, everybody got something they're going through. Now, the reason we believe is go to this Bible and we read and get encouragement and strength because we find people that actually have gone through the same thing or worse than what we're going through, and they overcame. But the reason we get faith and the reason that we are encouraged is because we can see people that had challenges. Look, if everybody had it good, we wouldn't get no faith from that. We wouldn't get no faith from that, right? But because they had it, they had it bad. Thrown into a lion's den, that's bad. Fiery furnace, bad, but they overcame. And that's where we get our strength from. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why I say don't try to dictate life. Just allow life to come. He's in control. He's going to get glory. He's going to get honor from everything that happens. But don't try to beat God. You can't. You can't do that. I'm going to dodge this, Lord. I'm going to dodge. No. All right. You thought you dodged that. You thought you dodged it. As soon as you move, God got something else right there waiting for you. Just learn to allow God to be God. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Look at this. You got to be laughed at and made fun of. Stomped at. Kicked at. Made fun of. If they call the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call them that be his disciples? I'll take the way with the Lord's despised few. I started in with Jesus. Oh, Lord, take me through. That's right. That's my alternative, is to go through. All right. Let me see here. I think I want to read. Let me read this last quote. In this quote here, there actually is a prophecy that's going to go forth while Brother Branham is speaking on the sermon, the 70th week of Daniel. He says, "Oh my, don't you feel good? Think, friends, this is Pentecost worship. This is Pentecost. Let's clap our hands and sing it." I want to say something there while I'm here. It just came to me. When I went to Arkansas, something that I noticed amongst the saints, they church that don't have drums, and I don't, you know, to each his own, I totally understand that. But one thing I noticed that without the drums, the people would clap their hands a lot more. When the song would get, you know, going, then folk find a way to put their hands on it. And they clap their hands a lot, right? And I was just noticing, I mean, I could startlingly notice because I fellowship here at Spirit and Truth. And I just noticed, these folks clap their hands when the songs come on and somebody get up there to sing a special, their hands are on it. And I was almost feeling a little embarrassed. I said, what's the matter with us? And then I started thinking, I said, man, is it, you know, and maybe sometimes people just let the drums do the beat for them. But it used to be a time you had no drums, you put your hands on it. And now that we got drums, we ought to put our hands with the drums. We got to get back to it. The Bible say, clap your hands, all ye people, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. And don't sit around saying, I wish the song leader sang something a little fast so I can laugh. No, it ain't got to be fast to clap your hands. You can get a medium song and still put your hands on it. It changes the atmosphere. And we actually got to beg people. Come on, y'all, put your hands on it. We shouldn't have to do that. You should come in here. If you got two hands and you come into church, you ought to know what you're supposed to do with them two hands. Clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Look, you don't clap your hands pretty much for any other time during the week. Come to church with your hands ready to clap. And if you want to go a little further, let me just be careful on this. Get yourself a tambourine, but you got to know how to beat it. Amen. I know I can't play no tambourine, so I don't bring one. I can just use my hands. Amen. But let's put our hands on it, church. Let's put our hands. I just noticed that. I'm like, wow, these folk be. I mean, every song, every service, they be ready to praise God. We need to get back to that. Amen. We're getting lazy. Amen. Be like Sister Cobb, my mother-in-law, when she put her horn down, what did she do? She grabbed a shaker. I don't know where it come from, but you just hear back that shake. She going to do something to get involved in the service. You ought to try the same thing. Find something you can do. Lift your voice, clap your hands, worship the Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know about y'all, but I done been in little tight spots where I'm not even at church, but a little song hit me, and I'm on it. I can have church by myself. Glory, 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 glory. You don't praise him, don't hymn to me. All right. Okay, so it says this, let's clap our hands and sing it. Pentecostal people, everybody try to loosen up. Get that old Methodist formality out of you. It says, now come on, let's sing it. Oh, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Now, you're hearing the words, you can hear the tune in your head, right? It says, Satan will be bound 1,000 years, will have no tempter then. After Jesus shall come back to earth again. Oh, our Lord is coming back to earth again, right? The Bible says, yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Satan will be bound 1,000 years, will have no tempter then, after Jesus shall come back to earth again. Says, do you love him? Oh, let's just raise our hands now to him. I love him. I love him because he first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. I love him. I love him because he first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Now, you notice here it says tongues and interpretation. So somebody spoke in tongues and interpretations. Yea, though I, by God, would speak unto thee this day by his spirit, for I say that I have sent forth this my prophet throughout the nations of the earth. I say that as he has entered these doors this day, that I have anointed him in a special way. For I say, I have bestowed my wisdom upon him, yea, the wisdom that was upon my prophets of old. And I say that I have given unto him great enlightenment by my spirit concerning the mysteries that have been hid in the ages gone by. I say, my dearly beloved children this day, that if thou shalt hearken unto the words that I have brought forth this day unto thee, so shall thine understanding be fruitful. And thou shalt increase in the might of my power. And thou shalt know what it is to walk in the revelation of my word and my spirit. For I say that I shall be in the midst of thee, and I shall do great things for thee. For I say that the wedding supper is now set. And I say that the Lord, that the hour shall be soon, when I say that there shall come a time that my people shall be called home to me. And I say unto thee, my dearly beloved children, this day, be thou not weary in well-doing. For I say that he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And thou shalt stand before me clothed in white raiment, thus saith the Lord. This is why they were worshiping and praising God. Tongues go forth. And interpretation comes while they worship. It didn't interrupt the service. It came while they were worshiping. We got to learn to create the right type of atmosphere. If God want to do that and so much more for us, if we'll just yield to him. This last slide here, as we bring this to a close, I'm just going to read a quote regarding this. It's coming, I guess I forgot to update that. The next slide, please. I forgot to tell you where that was coming from. It's not the God who is rich in mercy, but it's coming from the message, it is I. Prophet says, he said, when I saw him take those 5 biscuits and 2 fishes and break them, I climbed up on a rock and looked over to see how he did it. I see the pieces of fish in his hand. He'd break it off and lay it over here. And when he reached back again, there would be another fish there. Not only a fish in the water, but a fish already raised and cooked and ready to go, ready to eat. And when I saw him break that little loaf of bread in two, they're giving a testimony on the sea. Say, lay it out there. But when he reached back again, there was another loaf ready to be broken off again. Oh, how he could grow bread. I want to ask if there'd be a scientist here, what kind of atom did he turn loose at that time to make the regular wheat, of course? It was the same one he turned loose when he turned water into wine. He's God. He does what he wants to. And he's willing to do all things and give us exceedingly, abundantly, more than we could even think if we would just let ourselves be turned loose in the faith in him. That's where it lays, is having faith in him to believe that he can. For all things are possible to them that believe. No matter what it is, it's possible, not only possible, probable. I want to read that again. For all things are possible to them that believe. No matter what it is, it's possible, and not only possible, probable, and will happen if you'll just believe it. Lord, we say amen. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for your word. truth that endureth to all generations. Lord, in this generation, we stand and walk in what has been given to us. How we appreciate, oh God. Lord, your prophet just kind of giving us these little nuggets that we can apply to scripture, get some enlightenment, and just draw closer to you, Father, through it. Thank you for this journey through Ephesians chapter 3. Just prepare our hearts, Lord, as we prepare to start the journey through Ephesians 4. Continue just, Lord, just to minister to us. And ultimately, Lord, we want to just draw closer to you. That's our heart's desire. We realize there's coming a time where we won't gather in this place, Lord. We'll be gathering on the other side. But it's this word that brings transformation to us, that prepares us, Lord, for that great translation that's soon to occur. We just give you all the glory and thank you, Father, for this promise that we've read here. If we could just believe, Lord, it's according to the power that's at work within us. You are able to do the exceeding, the abundant above all we can ask or think. If we could just think right, think on things that are just, pure, of good report. God, if there be any virtue, any, there be any praise, think on these things is what the scripture tells us. So, Lord, help us, God, to keep our minds centered on you, our hearts centered on you, God. Our inner man will be strengthened by the word of God, that we would only speak the word, Father, no matter what the condition is. We just read, Lord, not only are all things possible, but it's probable, and it will happen if we can just believe. We give you the glory, the honor, the praise. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just a couple announcements there. So service will be on Sunday, and we'll continue our streaming and everything on the two various platforms, Facebook and Twitter. We have a couple events that we want to try to get done. We have a number of book packs that we want to give out. So we're going to try to do some at the pantry where we give out food every Thursday. But we also want to have a backpack distribution here on Saturday, July 30th here at the church. And that's going to start at 10 a.m. So we'll need a number of people just to kind of help with that. We'll be packing the bags. We'll also maybe just kind of walk the area, giving people just flyers, letting them know. Even people that's coming to the store, want to give them some. We want to let the churches here in this plaza know, you know, that we're going to have them so they can bring their kids to come get them. We're going to do everything we can to try to get, you know, get what's been given to us out to those. So that's going to happen on Saturday at 10 a.m., July 30th. Even have people standing out. Last time we did this, there were people just standing out on the corner there with signs telling people that we had a backpack giveaway, and people just driving right up here onto into the plaza and getting, you know, school supplies for the children. And many of them stated it was an answer to prayer for them. So we asked those that can volunteer, then, you know, please do that. You can see Sister Tina, and she can just let you know, you know, where you can get in and fit in. So, but if you'd like to volunteer and help out for that, we greatly appreciate it. Our giving, we have three ways that you can give. One is through Cash App. Another is through PayPal. And if you use Cash App, our name there is $SpiritandTruthT. If you use PayPal, use giving to a friend, a family member, and the option to give to a friend, a family member, and then use the email address giving@john423.org. And also, if you just want to mail your giving in, we greatly appreciate that. The address is there at the bottom of the screen, and we do appreciate your giving. We want to also just thank the Lord for watching over all the saints that went away over the weekend to the meetings. I heard very, very positive results. Amen. Came from the meetings there, Brother Armstrong, and just thank God for bringing the saints back, Sister Tina and Brother Stephen and Sister Rachel, Sister Michelle and Sister Charisse, I believe. Thank God for bringing them all back. And I know Sister Brown, them were away as well for family reunion. Thank God for bringing her back, amen, safely. So we just appreciate the Lord Jesus and all that he is doing. We want to come under expectation on Sunday as we just prepare for service once more. I believe God will just meet us here in a very, very special way. So let's just be looking forward to that. And y'all come with your shouting shoes on. Amen. With your hand claps ready to just praise the Lord. Let's change the way that we do things. Let's set a different atmosphere, right? And let's just come ready to enter in. I believe God will just meet us, amen, in the only way that he can. So let's pray. Before I pray, anybody got any special prayer requests tonight that they just want to make known, and we'll remember that in prayer tonight? Yes, sir. Well, let's take these requests before the throne of God before we leave tonight. God, we thank you for being able to bring us back together again. Thank you for watching over the saints, Lord, giving them all traveling mercies to go to and fro and to be a part of the meetings and family reunions, and Lord, just allowing them all to come back home safely. God, tonight as we leave, we have a couple of requests. Our precious brother Smiley just asking for your direction, your leadership, your guidance. Lord, you know exactly what's in his heart and what he needs. And may you give him the peace that passeth all understanding. May it guide and guard his heart and mind through Christ Jesus. And Father, all the steps that he takes, may God, you just get glory and honor out of each and every one of them. We know you have all things under your control. So, Father, help them just to find your perfect will and to walk accordingly. We want to remember this family that has lost a son. Joy and Paul have lost a son. God, due to COVID, this is nothing that you didn't know was going to happen. God, we know it didn't catch you by surprise. But, Lord, there's a family that is hurting because of this. We ask that you would be a comforter. We ask that you would be peace. We ask that you would be strength, Lord, to this family, that you would help them during this great time that they're suffering. And Lord, just ask that you just minister to their needs. And if they don't know you in the pardon of sin, may they come to know you, Father, in the pardon of sin. We ask that you would use this somehow for your glory. And God, as we're praying for them, Lord, we think of all the other things that are happening in our world. I believe down in South Africa, they're going through so much. People can't get food, standing in line for hours, Lord, trying to get the food because of some of the looting that has taken place and destruction that has happened, Father, in their country. And Lord, corruption in the government. Father, the people just don't know where to turn, but help them to turn to you, God. And I pray that you would just intervene, that you'd move, and that, God, that they would. The death toll just keeps rising because of the unrest in the streets. I pray that you give peace, Lord, in the path of all understanding. Haiti is also in need. God, their president has been shot, and Lord, leadership. God, they're trying to restore, and just pray that you'd help the people there, especially the saints that are living in these conditions, oh God. And Lord, the people just need your peace. May it be an opportunity for people to find Christ at a time like this. So we just commit the entire country into your hands. And Lord, a precious sister who called tonight asking prayer for her mother who had surgery recently and just having a few complications. Lord, we just want to remember her and her request and prayer as well, that you just minister to those needs. And as we prepare, God, to leave this place but not your presence, Go with us, keep us, encourage us, strengthen us, protect us, Lord. Bring us back at the appointed time on Sunday morning as we come to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. Those that are joining us online tonight, God bless you. We'll see you on Sunday.